chapter, the Gospel of Matthew. For those of you who are familiar with the Gospels, you know that Matthew 24 and 25 is the message that Jesus preached there on the Mount of Olives. It's often called the Mount Olivet Discourse. This is the general theme of chapter 24 and 25 is readiness. Readiness for the coming of the Lord. Preparedness. A reminder of the nearness of the coming of Jesus Christ. I think we've heard this a lot. We've heard about the coming of the Lord a lot over the years, at least I have in my life. And I think what you hear in your youth, your childhood, your early Christian experience, it really makes a big impact upon your life. I've talked about this a number of times that I grew up under a pastor that was I used to think he was a really old guy, but he was probably younger than I am now. But I thought he was a real old man, and he didn't have the privilege of education, had about a third grade education, but he was a real man of prayer, and a real man of the Holy Ghost, really an anointed man of God. And so something about him, when he got up to the pulpit to preach, he spoke with power and authority. You sat up and listened. You paid attention to what he had to say because he carried this air of authority about him. And so as a young person, as a child growing up in that church, we started attending that church when I was 4 years old. My mother had gotten saved in a Baptist church and really got saved. And then just a short while later, she was invited to a revival meeting at this Assembly of God church. And that's the church that I was raised in. She went to this revival, and just so happened that Brother Don Rich was the preacher in that revival meeting. Some of you know of Brother Don Rich. He was the preacher. My mom received the Holy Ghost, and they were having prayer meetings every morning at 10 o'clock at the church during that revival. And I was just a little big kid, but I guess I was 4 years old. But I remember, you know, being told to sit still on the pew while my mom prayed at those early prayer meetings. And so there was the beginning of some things that God was going to put in my heart that I've never gotten away from. Praise God for that. Amen. But the old-time preacher that I was raised under, he would get to three major themes, always preaching from these three major themes. No matter really what text he took, he would get back to one of these themes. Number one, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And number two, holiness. He preached a message of separation from the world, living a holy life, living above sin, and he was a godly man. And he made that strong emphasis in the church. And then thirdly, the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. And I heard those messages again and again and again, and it made a big impact upon my life. And really, chapter 24, this Olivet Discourse, is a message that is dealing with the coming of the Lord, dealing with the challenge to be ready for the coming of the Lord. When you go back to chapter 24, I've not read my text yet, but I will just a minute. But when you go back to the beginning of this discourse, to verse 3 of chapter 24, it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Five times in chapter 24 and 25, Jesus answers the question by saying, No man knows the day. No man knows the hour. Nobody knows. Only the Father knows when Jesus is going to come. That same theme is repeated five times in these two chapters. No man knows the hour, the day, or the season. We don't know when Jesus is coming. Now, if we were to know the time, if Jesus wanted us to know the day and the hour that he was coming, he would have told us. And he wouldn't have reemphasized here five times in this text, this message, that nobody knows. No man knows. Only the Father knows. He wouldn't have reemphasized that unless that there was an important reason for us, because he wanted every generation, every Christian, every person who lived from that day forward and served the Lord to live their life in expectancy. Amen. To live their life prepared and ready, always ready for Jesus to come. And so that kind of a theme that needs to be somehow, you know, just so embedded into our spirit, reminding us of the fact we don't know when he's going to come. We do know that he is soon to come, and that the most important thing is, are you ready? Are you prepared for Jesus to come? But let's read from Matthew 25. Beginning with verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And then he starts into another parable. There's two parables here in chapter 25. Both of them relate to a special theme concerning preparedness, readiness for Jesus to come. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. We'll stop right there. As I said, there's two parables here. Now, a parable, Jesus used many, many parables in the Gospels. A parable was really a mystery. And I think that there's a lot of different ways that people define why that Jesus used parables. Obviously, it was stories, and stories are easy to grasp hold of spiritual truths. But also, I think the most important thing was that it was a mystery. So it stirred interest, curiosity, and caused those who heard him to pay closer attention and to give full attention to the message of the parable. And that's what we want to do here today. The first parable, and we didn't read this parable, is the first part of chapter 25. And we know that in that parable, it describes those 10 virgins, and 5 of them were described as wise, and 5 were foolish. The foolish were described as foolish virgins because they went to sleep with empty vessels, without the oil that they needed, and were unprepared for the bridegroom to come. Now, in the first parable, there's the encouragement to be watchful, to be ready and to be waiting and watchful for the coming of the Lord. Oh, and how important it is that we have our focus, our intention on the reality of the fact that Jesus is coming, and he's coming really soon. Now, this is a doctrine that has kind of been put to the side. It's not emphasized all that much anymore, even though it's all throughout the pages of God's Word. The New Testament is filled with reminders to us of the soon coming of the Lord. As a matter of fact, there's not very many places where the preacher is told specifically, this is what you need to be talking about. This is what you need to speak. This is what you need to talk about. But in Titus chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. What were the things that he was talking about that needed to be said, that he was emphasizing? Make sure that you speak and you exhort and you declare this important message. This is what it is. You have to back up a few verses, back to verse 11, where it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So a big important message and theme that we need to be preaching is that the grace of God that brings salvation is available to all of mankind. Praise God. But then, not only is the grace of God bringing us salvation, but verse 12 says that it teaches us. The grace of God teaches us how to live. The grace of God brings salvation, and the grace of God teaches us how that we are to live our life for Jesus, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And why? Why? Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak. So, a reminder to us of some things that definitely need to be talked about from the pulpits across this country. We need to talk about the grace of God that brings salvation to whosoever will. We need to talk about the grace of God that also teaches men how to live their life so that when Jesus comes, they will be ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Because we're to be looking. We're to be like those 5 wise virgins, that we are waiting and we are watching and we are looking for the coming of the Lord. And that's an important theme. But then the second parable, the one that I read to you, is the parable of the talents. Both of them in the same chapter, both a part of this Olivet discourse of Jesus, both of them dealing with two different aspects of preparedness as it relates to Jesus and the coming of the Lord. Let me tell you, folks, we are living in some very serious times. We are living in a time when if your eyes are not upon Jesus, if your focus is not upon the reality that this generation and this season that we're living in right now is winding down very quickly, and there's no doubt to me but that the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, is very, very soon upon us, and that we need to be living our lives, yes, like those wise virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom. We need to live prepared, waiting, and ready. But the parable of the talents reveals another aspect of our preparedness, and that is the fact that we are not only to be waiting, but we're also to be working. We're to be doing something with what God has given to us. So the parable of the talents, it describes to us the fact that Jesus himself ascended into heaven, but before he did, he left with us valuable, valuable things. Two times in the story, it's referred to as money. The talents, actually, a talent was just was a system of measuring. And so a talent of gold would be worth more than a talent of silver. Or a talent of silver would be worth more than a talent of bronze or brass, and so on. And so really the talent was a measure of worth and value. And so whenever Jesus gave to the church before he ascended into heaven, before he went away, he left with the church some things that are really valuable. And those things that he's given to you are just a reminder to you from this text that's not what you have. Some people are born, and we get a little bit confused with the whole idea of talents, because sometimes people are just born with natural abilities. I don't think it's talking about your natural ability. I think it's talking about a gift from God, a gift from God that is very valuable, that has the potential of being used by God to touch the lives of people and to make an impact upon your world. Amen. And so the parable of the talents, in this parable, that these amounts, it really doesn't matter, and we don't really make an issue of who's got what or even the fairness of how he dispersed it. One got five, another got two, another got one. We just trust God. It says that he divided them up severally as he would, just at his will. God knows what's best. He's the sovereign one that's in control, and he knows what we need, and he knows what he can entrust into our hands. Amen. And so it's not an issue of fairness. It's an issue rather of what we do with what God has blessed us with. What we do with the things that he has given to us. And so really what we need to see is that there's a balance here in these two parables. Yes, we need to be waiting. We need to be looking. We need to be longing for the coming of Jesus. But that's not all that we're to do. We're not just to be sitting with our wedding garments on, ready, and just say, well, we're just going to hold on until Jesus comes. That's not the will of God. Surely we're to be watching and waiting and longing for the appearing of Jesus. But we're also to be busy. We're also to take what he's given to us, and we're to invest it, and we're to place it in the kingdom of God. And to realize that what God has given to you, what he's given to me, is valuable. And really, I know that there may be some confusion about these talents, but let's just look at it from this very simple perspective, and that is this. It's valuable, and probably the only thing that I can see that's the most valuable thing that you possess And that is the message of truth and the power of the message of the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have something that's valuable that needs to be invested. And when we're willing to invest it, then it will multiply and it will become greater and greater and greater than anything that you could ever imagine. That's been something that I have witnessed on a number of occasions recently in Africa, whenever I was there with Brother Royce Roy, and he was meeting with some of the people that he had not seen in 20 years. And he had spent 20 years with his family there in ministry and sacrificing and giving and pouring into the lives of those people. And, digging out a work for God and building and all of the hard work and the labor. And they left that country under the pressure of a civil war and having to leave. And then not really knowing in the last 20 years, at least not very many details about what has been going on in Sierra Leone in the years since he's been there. But he had invested. They had worked. They had sacrificed. They had given of themselves all of those years. And as I mentioned in one of the services, a few services back, we even visited the graves of those, a child that was born and buried there, and of Ralph and Becky Heath, some of their co-workers, and another young man that's buried there who was killed in an accident. And when I saw those graves and I saw the work that was going on and what had been something like maybe 30-some churches that had been established, but now it's 84 churches. And now a Bible school that just recently graduated 120 students from their Bible school. And the church is growing. And not only are they in Sierra Leone, but they're also in a couple of other countries. Excuse me. I'm telling you that whenever you invest your life in the kingdom of God, you may not see the evidence of it right that moment. But you will, if you'll be patient and faithful, God will reward you. And he will take what you have invested into the work of the kingdom of God. He'll multiply it. He'll make it into much more than you could ever imagine if you're willing to give and to sacrifice and to pour out into the lives of people. I'm convinced that there are a lot of people that are discouraged. They are, they feel like that their life has no meaning. They feel like that, there's just a deep discontent down in their soul. And the reason for that is that they have lived and are living their life for themselves. They're giving the hours of their day and their time throughout their week, and it's all given to themselves. It's all given to their own needs and their own life without any thought of the fact that Jesus is coming soon and he's given to us some valuable things that needs to be invested in the kingdom of God. And if you'll be willing to do that, one of these days you'll reap the reward. One of these days you're going to see the fruit of your labor. Amen. And I challenge you today, if you're feeling that in your soul, just kind of a discontent and a lack of real joy, it can be changed if you're willing to invest of yourself and your life in the work of the kingdom of God. You see, whenever the Lord gives to you something so valuable as the message of the gospel and so precious as the truth that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and you have this knowledge, you have this truth, and you don't share it, then you're like the one servant who took his talent out and he buried it. Why did he do that? Why did he bury his talent? Well, he answered that question. He said, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were hard. And you were harsh in the way that you deal with us. So I just went and buried my talent. A lot of times people bury their talent. What God has given to you, you bury it because Jehovah, you have a bad concept of God. You don't understand who God is. You don't understand the mercy of God and the love of God and how much that He cares for every soul that lives on this planet. God so loved the world that He sent His Son into this world that whosoever will, that means that 2.5 million Sierra Leoneans in Freetown that are without God, that are in the darkness of Islam, that Jesus died for them. Not only them, but all over the world, and even those that you come in contact with who are living out the days of their life with just, you know, what this life can provide for you. A little comfort, a little enjoyment, a few nice things that you can have as far as possessions in this world. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, this is what you gave to me, and this is what I did with it. Amen. This is what I did with it. The talent is the most valuable things that God has placed in your hands. And none of us here, and most in this country, are without excuse. We're without excuse. I know that we're living in a post-Christian era here in America, but most of us that are middle-aged or older, for sure, we know about the message of the gospel. Most Americans know about the Bible, and they know, even though it's being pushed to the side and rejected and neglected by many, this is a nation that bears a tremendous responsibility to the world because we have been blessed and we have been privileged, and you are blessed and privileged, and you know things that a great number of people by the millions upon millions around this world, they do not know. And even a generation of people that live right here, that are within the reach of you, that you work with, that you rub shoulders with, that you're in contact with, that they need to hear the message of the gospel. It's the most precious, valuable thing that you have, and you need to invest it in the kingdom of God. Amen. These two, the one with the five talents, whenever the Lord, the Master, comes back, He says, I took it, I invested it, and now I have another five talents. That's the wonderful thing about this wonderful treasure of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is something that has, it's alive. It's living. And so wherever you sow the seed, wherever you preach the message, wherever you give the testimony, it has the power to grow, to expand, to multiply. Hallelujah. It's the seed of the gospel truth. It will expand. It will grow. If you will invest it in the lives of people, it'll make a difference. It may take a while. It may take 10 or 15 or 20 years. I don't know. But I want you to know that if you'll do with what God has given to you, invest in the kingdom of God to make a difference. The Bible says that this one that had five, he said, I have gained beside that five you gave me, five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In both cases, the one with the five talents, the one with the two talents, both of them are told, now enter into the joy. Enter into the joy. The joy. Now, the greatest joy of a life lived for Jesus is to come down to the latter years of your life and to be able to witness the fruit of things that you did and the investments that you made. Praise God. Hallelujah. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. The effort that you put forth, the testimony of your life, the gifts that you gave, the ministry that you carried on. It may have felt like that you weren't really doing all that much with your life, but you gave what little that God had given to you, and you invested it in the lives of people. You invested it in the kingdom of God. And then now, in some of these, you won't even see until we get to heaven. But oh, the joy of the fulfilling of God's plan in your life. We're all going to wind down one of these days to the end of our days in this world. Amen. There's going to come a day where it doesn't matter how much money that you've got, you're not going to be able to spend it. There's going to come a time then with all the possessions that you have, all the things of this world that you've accumulated, it's not going to provide any joy to you at the end, the latter days of your life. But the greatest joy that can come to your life is to see that the effect of your life, of sacrifice, your life of giving, your life of planting the seeds of the truth in the lives of people around you, that God has given you opportunity. Amen. I really believe that that feeling that sometimes people have of uselessness and feeling like, well, I'm just wasting my life and what am I doing with my time and what am I doing that's going to make any difference? Because we know that the things of this world, they will not provide lasting contentment. I believe to enter into the joy is to enter into the realization and the fulfillment and the fruitfulness of those latter years, and even when we get to heaven, things that we see once we get to heaven that we could never have imagined that God was able to do with that little that we invested in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to notice this, that Jesus spoke to those two, the one with the five, the one with the two talents, and he called them twice faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful. I wonder what words come to your mind whenever you think of someone that is faithful. What comes to your mind when you think of someone that's faithful? I think that a lot of times we think of someone that's kind of reliable and steadfast and trustworthy, consistent. There's probably other words that come to mind when you think of someone that is faithful. But God is relating here in this account here that faithfulness means something else to God. It means something much more to God. Because both cases, they weren't just maintaining. That's what we often think of someone that's faithful. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not doing that much for God, but I am faithful. I am here, and I am faithful. Well, I don't know if you're faithful by God's standard or not. He called them the good and the faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because they had taken the five that had been given to them, and they turned it into 10. And they had taken the two that had been given to him, and turned it into 4. He called the one that was multiplying, not maintaining, the ones that were multiplying what they had been given. He called them the faithful ones. Amen. Amen. So what do you fit in that category? Are you a faithful servant of God? Are you faithful with what God has given to you? Are you investing it? Are you seeing it multiplied as you give to the work of the kingdom of God? Now, that this is not necessarily money, although two different times the master that returned called it money. Called it money. Relating a measure of value. Something valuable. You have taken. Why did you take that I gave to you? Why didn't you not put my money to usury? Why did you not invest it so that I could gain and receive back from that which is invested? I don't know about you, but I have to look back over my life and all I see is a lot of different people that have invested in me. A lot of people that have cared about me, that have prayed for me and invested in me. Preachers of the gospel that took time with me and cared about me. One pastor, when I was in Bible school, called me when I was flat broke, and I had preached maybe 3 times or 4 in my life. called me and he said, I want you to come and preach the weekend. I said, okay. Preach the whole weekend. He had a Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night service. I was scared to death because that's about all the sermons I had was three. But I went. I went and I did my best in those three services. They gave me a generous offering that I desperately needed, as all Bible school students need. I needed it. And then before I left that Sunday night, he walked up to me and he gave me a box. And I opened up the box and it was, he said, maybe this will help you. If this will help you, I want you to have this. It was a box full of his sermon notes. And in years of his ministry, he had taken a sheet of paper like this and folded it in half. And he wrote his sermon notes out on this side of it, and then he would turn it over and finish up his sermon notes on it. It was all handwritten. On the inside, it was like a little pocket, and he would have like little clippings of poems or different articles or illustrations stuck in there. And that was the way, that was his little system of developing sermons. And he gave me a whole stack of them. And I don't know that I've used them, but I've read every one of them. I've went through them many times. I still have them. I still treasure them because I know that what he was trying to do is help me. He was wanting to help me. He was trying to invest in me and to do something that was going to make a difference in my life. And I praise God for people like that down through the years. But now I'm 60 years old and it's my responsibility and your responsibility to make an investment of your own life in the work of the kingdom of God. And I don't know how many years that you've got or I've got, but I do know this, that throughout the remaining time that we have in this world, we need to give that time to investing in the lives of people. Why? Jesus is coming. He's coming really soon. He's going to come back and he's looking for a people that have cared more about the gospel and more about advancing the kingdom of God than they have advancing themselves and their own life and their own wealth and their own position in life. They've cared more about pouring out into the lives of other people. Solemn truth in this text. He says to the one who just took his talent out and buried it, he said, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Two problems that he had. Number one is he had a bad concept of God, of who God is. And number two, he was fearful. He was afraid to step out. He was afraid to do what God was telling him to do. Could this be just a challenge to every one of you here today? A challenge to recognize that every one of you have a purpose, a calling, and you have a gift in your hand. You have a talent in your hand. You might have two, you might have five, I don't know, but God has given to you treasures, valuable things that he's placed in your hands. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to trust God? Or are you going to be afraid to do that? Is your concept of God one that God doesn't care and it doesn't really matter to God? Or do you understand that God so loved the world and he's called you and me to have the same love and compassion for a lost world? Amen. Hallelujah. This man, this one servant, he said to him, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That tells me that right now we have opportunities, but we may not always have them. Right now you have opportunities. But opportunity and the time for opportunity may run out. And you need to use the time that God has given to you right now to invest in the lives of people, to invest in the kingdom of God, to invest in the souls of men, to believe that God can use you and that he can touch your life and your life can really have a sense of purpose and a sense of meaning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray, Lord. I thank you for these things that you've dealt with me about. Lord, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful, Lord, by your standard. I want to be, Lord, investing and multiplying those things that you've given to me. And Lord, I just pray for everyone in this building, Lord, that we would sense the truth, Lord, that surely your coming is soon. And we're just spending our days, our hours, our weeks on things that are not going to have any eternal consequence at all. Lord, would you help us to use what you've given to us to advance your kingdom? And we would do it, Lord, with an urgency. We would do it with a compassion and a burden, Lord, for a world that is lost. Thank you, Lord, that you've given to us. You've invested in us. You've given to us treasures, the most valuable things in this world. And help us to do with it what you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.